Is it possible to lose your salvation? That's the question we're going to answer on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're currently in a series called Beyond Doubt, and it's based on Sean Lazar's book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. If you'd like a copy of this book, you can get it at faithalone.org/store. Hopefully, you're following along chapter by chapter. In this episode, we're going to be covering what's in chapter 4, Can You Lose Eternal Life? Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace and Focus studios. Here's Grace and Focus.
Welcome to Grace and Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're talking about my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, available at the bookstore, on Amazon, and elsewhere. And it's all about helping people come to assurance of salvation. And I'm thankful that I have heard from many people who were helped by this book, and they were confused before, and they came to the point where they had their assurance or regained their assurance. And I think it can do the same for you. We're just covering these topics pretty briefly in this series. I'd encourage you to get the book. Chapter 4 in the book is this: Can You Lose Eternal Life? The Error of Probation Salvation.
Okay, now what is probation salvation?
The way I thought of it was this. I've heard this before, and I forget now where I got it, but someone said there's a big difference between the kinds of salvation that churches teach that God offers to us. So we believe that God gives us eternal salvation. When you believe in Jesus for eternal life, which I teach my kids is forever life, what kind of life do you have? How long does it last?
Forever.
Forever and ever. And you have it. It's not something that's promised only in the future. It's a present possession. Have eternal life, right?
Yeah. In fact, quick illustration. This, a friend of mine was, back when people wrote letters, was writing letters with a pastor friend of his, two pastors writing back and forth. They both believed that they were secure in Christ, and they both had assurance. They both knew they were saved once and for all. But the one person, when he shared his faith, always shared that when you believe in Jesus, you're saved forever. Mm-hmm. And the other person would say, if you believe in Jesus, you're saved. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't seem like they were connecting in the letters. In fact, I have the letters in my file. But finally, the one pastor said, ultimately, what you're saying is radically different than what I'm saying. He said, you're saying that when a person believes, he's saved for now. And right. What I'm saying is that when a person believes, he's saved forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference between saved for now and saved forever.
There are different churches teach different kinds of salvation, and you need to be aware of that and just prick up your ears and listen to what your pastor is teaching or different teachers are teaching. So we believe that Jesus promises eternal salvation, forever salvation. Well, what's the opposite of that? I call it probation salvation. It's kind of you're saved for now.
Right. You may not be saved tomorrow.
And you may not. You might lose it. You got to keep it. They all have different criteria for how you can keep it, but you have a chance to be saved.
It's a conditional salvation.
Right.
You got a good start.
Good start.
But you're not there yet.
No, you're not there yet. You could lose it. There's no guaranteeing it. You know, God is your biggest cheerleader in this, but you can totally just lose it tomorrow, potentially. And so that's a completely different kind of salvation message. To me, the scriptures are very clear. God does not promise probation. Jesus
right.
didn't die on the cross to give you a chance to save yourself. That's not what he did.
Right. He didn't say, he who believes in me might get everlasting life eventually.
Right.
John 6:47, he who believes in me has it right now.
Yeah, and he didn't say if he can keep it. That's not what he promised.
Right.
You have everlasting life. So the question is, why do people think that you could lose your salvation? And there's all kinds of warning passages in the scripture. I don't really go into them in this chapter. In this chapter, I basically just explain why it is that we can know that everlasting life is everlasting. Well, one example of that, I think, is John 3:16 itself, right? Everyone recognizes there's something special about that verse, that somehow it's the gospel in a nutshell. I think even Martin Luther said it was the gospel in a nutshell. What is it about John 3:16 that would lead someone to think that everlasting life is everlasting?
Well, never perish is very strong, especially since in verses 17 and 18, he defines perishing as being eternally condemned.
Right.
And so never perishing means never perish.
It doesn't mean might not.
Right.
Might not if you live a good life, or might not if you keep on believing until the end of your life. And might not, as long as you're really focusing on God and trying your best. It says never.
Same thing in John 6:35. The bread of life discourse he's leading into this, because remember, he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. They want more bread, and he says, I'm the bread of life. And then he says, he who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst.
So never. And that's, he's talking about spiritual realities
right
there.
It's like in John 4 with the woman at the well, you drink this living water, you're never going to thirst. So here in John 6:35, he who believes in me will never thirst. He's saying to drink the living water is to believe in him and you'll never thirst. Just like never perish, never hunger, and never thirst means you're secure.
Well, one illustration I always use for kids at church, you know, they like visual illustrations. I'll take like a toonie or a loonie. Do you know what those are?
A toonie and a loonie are things in the cartoons, aren't they?
That's right. It's our crazy Canadian currency. And sometimes
those are coins?
Those are coins, right? It's our dollar coin and our $2 coin. The loonie is the $1 and the toonie is the
$2. $2. That's why it's called toonie?
Toonie, yeah, that's right.
I thought it was some kind of musical note or
toonie. So I'll take those coins and I'll bring one of the kids up and I'll have them read John 10:28 and 29. That's where Jesus promises, you believe, then you're in his hand and you're in the Father's hand, and no one can snatch them out of their hands because the Father is greater than all. But first of all, I'll put the coin in my hand and I'll say, okay, try to take it out of my one hand. And typically, I'll choose like a weak, very weak kid, and they won't be able to do it. You know, they won't be able to take it out of my hand. And then I'll take my other hand, and now I'm grabbing that coin with two hands, and I'm like, okay, now try again. Well, they're like, well, I couldn't do it when you're only holding it with one hand. I can't do it with both. And I said, that's exactly the point. And I'll have them read John 10:28 and 29. And then I'll ask the question, once you're in Jesus' hand, or once you're in God's hand, can anybody take you out of their hands, according to this verse? And they'll say, no.
No.
And I'll say, well, once you have eternal life, can you ever lose it? And they'll say, no. But no, now some snarky people will say, well, you can always jump out yourself. Well, what would you say to that?
A number of things. First of all of the verses like never perish, never hunger, never thirst, John 11:26, never die, they're all absolute statements. That means even whatever we do can't cause it. But secondly, in John 10:28 and 29, there's nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. That would include we ourselves.
Exactly.
Because the whole context is dealing with Satan. Starting at the very beginning of the chapter, the thief is coming to steal and rob and destroy.
Right.
And he's basically saying no matter what Satan does, he can't snatch away your salvation. Well, what if Satan could get you to jump out?
Yeah.
Well, then wouldn't he be snatching away your salvation by tricking you?
Exactly. It would become a worthless promise. If Satan can convince you, or let's say your neighbor, or like maybe you're dating an unbeliever and they can convince you to jump out, you know, that means this promise is worthless. Anyone can jump out at any time.
Well, not only that, Luke 8:12 in the parable of four soils, it says, Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved. The seed is the living water. The seed is the bread of life. Once that seed is believed, once it's received, then at that moment, the person is secure and Satan knows it's over.
Right.
So that's why he snatches away the seed lest they believe and be saved. Because once they're saved, they're always saved. In Baptist circles, this is called OSAS. Once saved, always saved.
I have a blog about the eternality of salvation. Basically, every way that salvation is presented in Scripture is all irrevocable, irreversible. Every single way that you can present salvation in Scripture always has the idea of permanency attached to it. So if you're justified by faith apart from works, there's no verse that says you can become unjustified. You know, when we believe in him, we get adopted as God's children. There is no verse that says God can then unadopt you. When you believe, you get born again, right? John chapter 3. Well, there's no verse that says that God then performs a spiritual abortion if you don't live up to the faith. You know, every single way of presenting, if you pass from death to life, well, there's no verse that says you can go back again. You pass out of judgment. There's no verse that says that you'll come back into judgment.
What people do, and I can hear them now, Sean, these people would say, well, what about all the warning passages? Aren't there a lot of warnings? Don't those warnings warn me that I'm going to go to hell if I don't persevere? And the answer would be no.
There are warning passages.
There are warnings, yes.
And there are serious consequences.
But not loss of eternal life.
And usually you just need to look at the context to know what God is warning. There's lots of different disciplines that he can inflict on his children. Scripture is full of these consequences. For example, King David, when he committed adultery, what was the result of that? Not that he went to hell, but he did lose his son.
Right.
He was involved in a rebellion with one of his elder children. It seems like he suffered physically, like his, he described, like his bones melting. It's almost like he's losing his health because of he's under this unconfessed sin. There's lots of consequences.
And if you think about it, you've got three kids. Well, your kids have an irrevocable relationship with you and your wife.
That's right.
They're always going to be your children. You're never going to kick them out of the family.
And I've tried.
But you do discipline them.
Yes.
There are consequences if they rebel.
Oh, absolutely.
And all that's for their good. In the same way that when God disciplines us, it's for our good.
Here's what I want to encourage you to do. We have a new book by Ken Yates. It's a commentary on the book of Hebrews, and it goes into all of these warning passages in depth. It's an excellent commentary. And in fact, I think we're going to have Ken on, and we're going to go through the book of Hebrews with him. So some of the things that you can lose as a result of God's judgment is fellowship with him, lack of intimacy with him, the joy of the Spirit. You can get sick. You can even, up to and including death, can be a result of temporal judgment. So the warning passages are serious, but none of them have to do with losing your eternal life or going to hell when you die.
Because that's impossible.
It's impossible because eternal life is eternal. So here's a final thought. When you're listening to a preacher preach salvation and offer salvation, or a Bible teacher offer salvation, or a missionary, or someone on TV, ask yourself, what kind of salvation is being offered? Are they offering eternal salvation, which is what Jesus promised? Or are they preaching probation salvation, just a chance to be saved? If that's all they're offering, I recommend that you change the channel.
Amen.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion on the fact that we cannot lose something that is an eternal gift. Eternal life is yours forever if you've believed in Jesus for it. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on this very subject. The first book that I'd like to suggest to you is called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation by Sean Lazar. It's what this current series is based on. It's a great companion for the discussions that Bob and Sean are having. In addition to that, Sean mentioned a book in today's program called Hebrews, Partners with Christ by Ken Yates. You can get both of those books at faithalone.org/store. Or you can go to faithalone.org and click on the store button. Either way, it's going to take you to these great resources and many others. Speaking of other resources, we've got lots of stuff on the website that's absolutely free. We've got a great print magazine that goes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription and it'll show up right in your mailbox. We've got teaching videos, podcasts of this show, free ebooks, free blog posts, Bible study materials. All of these resources are aimed at helping you grow and mature in the faith. I hope you'll take advantage of them. You might even want to become a financial partner to help us continue the work that we're already doing. If that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. You can find out how to do that right on faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to send a message to Bob or Sean. They love feedback, questions, comments. The best way to reach out to our team is through email. You can get us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tune in next time as we talk about feelings over facts. It's going to be an interesting discussion. I hope you'll join us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.